Right. Well, let's be turning to 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm going back. Last week I had a message about just spiritual finances and the economy of God. I will continue to do that. And did you see out in the lobby we have a thermometer out there, right? All right. That is measuring. You'll see it out in the lobby, a great big one to measure our fundraiser. If you remember, what we're doing is we're having a fundraiser right now for our sound system. We need a new sound system, and so it's going to be out there as we go along, and we need $20,000 altogether. That's what we need. We need $20,000. And, you know, it's just not a matter of giving, and it is a matter of giving, but it's also, let's be praying about it, okay? And I'm going to, well, as a church, let's be praying about it, and that's real important for us to do as the Lord blesses us as we go along. It's really a great need that we have. And you know, we just go along. When we get to 5,000, we're going to have a little bit of a celebration at that time. And then every time we go up 5,000, we're going to have a little bit of celebration because we're going to recognize the Lord in this, right? We're going to recognize the Lord in this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. We just give you the praise and give you the glory. All right, here. So I'm going back to the second part of what does it mean to go forward in Jesus. This is part two. I did that a week before last. And I sought to focus here on the promises of God. You know, the promises of God is the covenant of the Lord. That's what this word is. This is why this word is so important to you in your life. It's not just the Bible. It's not just the word of God, as we call it. It's not just divinely inspired as it is. It's the perfect word of the Lord. It's the avenue and the way of truth. You know, if you want to know the truth about anything, this is where you're going to find it. When I get our eyes off of the truth of the word, then that's how we end up getting off of the narrow way that God has called us to in Christ Jesus. You know, so we must be a people in the word of God. And I just want to encourage you, that's always a work in progress, is it not? Is it not? And don't be condemned. Don't be condemned. Now, I'm going to mention about being a seeker here in a minute, but you know that's the heart that I want to have. I want to be a seeker, and as I'm a seeker, then I'm in the Word in all kinds of different ways, right? You know, I may do a devotional time, but I'm going to warn you about something that's just gotten so out of whack. It's not even crazy. It's become this religious thing, you know, that we call being devoted is really being committed. That's the real word. But, you know, we call, you know, a devotion time. We think everything's good and well in Jesus if I've got a devotional time. And we call a devotional time reading the Bible 10 minutes in the morning. That's what we call a devotional time. And then, you know, there's a false peace, I'll be honest, because of a religious activity that we've done, and we become satisfied. And we lay down being what the Bible calls real seekers. And we need to be a seeker, you know, seeker. It's okay for me to have that 10-minute or whatever it would be, all right? And don't box yourself into condemnation. Don't box yourself into condemnation. Well, you know, I gotta get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, and have my devotional time, or everything in the day is gonna go haywire. That's not true at all. That's not true at all. That becomes a part of a religious activity that the evil one, when you set up these standards like that, instead of being a seeker and you set up these measuring marks, then what happens is you're really setting yourself up for condemnation. That's what's really going on. And you know, because you will fail your own standard. That's what will happen. And so you are really setting yourself up for condemnation. Be a seeker. Be a seeker. So I may have that 5 minute or whatever it would be in the morning, and I may not be, you know, you may not be a morning person. Okay. Well, don't be condemned because you're not a morning person because you don't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, maybe you're doing it in the evening. Maybe you do it another time, right? And maybe you got a busy life. Anybody here got a busy life? Okay, all right, but there's a few people got a busy life, all right. You know, and if you got a busy life, you know, and then sometimes the day just gets taken up with a whirlwind, doesn't it? Right? Okay, so you're not condemned there, but the path that you're on and the path that you're walking in and that you continue to walk in is that you walk as a seeker, right? As a seeker, you know, and there'll be days, you know, when you will really devote yourself to prayer and to the Word of God and to seeking the Lord, and there'll be days that you're not maybe as devoted that day. That has nothing to do with what you're going through in an 8-hour period or a 24-hour period. It's not marking, you know, the destiny of your walk in relationship with Jesus. All right? You know, but what do you need to be? You need to be a seeker. You need to be a seeker. You know, and if you're a seeker, then these things begin to unfold and happen to you naturally in your heart and your life. You know, it's not like, you know, I feel really good today because, you know, I spent an hour in prayer today. You know, and then the next day I didn't spend any time in prayer. Oh, gosh, I really feel bad, you know. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to live like that. And that's not the will of God. That's not the will of God whatsoever, you know. So, you know, when your heart is after the Lord, then what you want to do is you want to be a seeker. You are a seeker, you know, and you don't even count those things. You don't even count them. You know, like, hey, boy, I'm really proud of myself today. You know, doggone it, I spent a whole hour in prayer. You know, I'm just really proud of myself today. I was in the Word 4 hours today. Good. I'm glad you were, all right? You know, but it's a pathway. It's a pathway. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with the Lord. You know, well, that's become another religious, great religious term, hasn't it? You're right. You know, we'll say, well, you have a relationship with the Lord. And then in church terms, that we're just asking them if they've been saved or not. You know, well, whether you've been saved or not might be the beginning of having a relationship with the Lord, but that's not the all in all of having a relationship with the Lord. It is in church, but it's not in Jesus. It's just not. You know, a relationship is something that you pursue and that you engage in, right? You know, you pursue and that you engage in and you have a relationship. There's a beginning place in Romans chapter 5 in verse 1. It talks about our introduction into this grace. An introduction is the beginning. You know, so we're introduced into this relationship. This relationship begins. We begin to have an intimate relationship. Now we pursue it, right? Yeah, we pursue it. And it's like all relationships, you know, as the more you pursue it, the more intimate it becomes, right? You know, the more you pursue it, then the more intimate that relationship becomes. And that's the one thing, it struck me here as we were worshiping the Lord, that very point. And I think the Lord wants me to make mention of it. You know, the Lord wants you to have an intimate relationship with Him. We're looking at promises of God. This is actually the root and the foundation of seeing the fulfillment of the promises of God. You know, what's happened in the church world is receiving the promises have become a mechanical action. That's what's happened. May I tell you something, that God does nothing mechanically? God does nothing mechanically. And yet, that's the way that the promises and receiving the promises in a lot of the realms in the church have been presented, almost like a mechanical action that you take. And if you do that mechanical action, then you get the fulfillment of the promises of God. God does nothing on a mechanical basis, but He does everything from an intimate standpoint. Okay? So the more you become intimate with the Lord, then the more that you will see, okay, the fulfillment of promises that take place in your life. Let me go back to reading this as before. I know that everybody is so familiar with it, but we're going to look at some things that maybe be a little bit different. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and then we look here at verse 20. For as many as may be the promise, I'm going to read it through and we're going to kind of break it down. For as many as may be the promises of God, in Him they are yes. Wherefore also by Him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Now, I'm going to be kind of begin at a strange place, and that's going to be the end of that statement that is made there in verse 20, where it says right here, and it says, is our amen, so be it, amen, so be it. Look here, so be it for what? To the glory of God. Okay, to the glory of God. And then, where is this glory being manifested? Through us, right? All right, now, see, right, you know what you're getting to right now is the heart of motive, right? The heart of motive. And I don't know why that the so-called faith teachers never really include all of this when you're talking about receiving promises and such. But it's to the glory of God. It's not about you. It's about Him. And it's about the kingdom, and I'm the servant of God in the kingdom, and I get the blessings of the kingdom because I'm an obedient servant in the kingdom, right? So I want you to understand that. I don't put demand on God, and I got to put demand on God, and God's got to do it. God don't got to do nothing, okay, just so you know, all right? And a lot of that stuff is presented in that manner, right? And then one thing that is completely left out many times, and I don't even understand it with that teaching, that goes so mechanical, that it leaves out the heart completely. Leaves out the heart completely. You can't leave out the heart, because whatever's going on in the heart is going to be very relevant as to whether the promise is going to be fulfilled or not, right? And that's where God deals with us. Is He deals with us through the heart. It's not having everything right on the outside. He starts working not only in the outside, that you got all that straightened up, that's good, when you first start walking with the Lord, but then He moves inside. He starts dealing with the intentions of our heart, right? The intention of our heart. Every time you believe God, there is a working of the Spirit to enlighten things that are going on in your heart. Where the Holy Spirit will touch things and He said, give that to me. Give it to me. Let go of that. Let go of that. Take that up. Take that up. Put it down. Put it down. Now, this is the way that the Holy Spirit works in the heart so that He can bless us and lead us to the place to where the promises are being fulfilled in our life, right? And so I want you to see that. It's to the glory of God, So you understand that I don't get disappointed when that's the motive of my heart. I don't get disappointed. I don't get mad at God, right? Okay, if you've been believing for certain promises or whatever it would be, and then you can't believe anymore because you've been so consumed with disappointment, check your heart, because that's the problem. Because you shouldn't be disappointed. Right? These are not the things that it is revealing something. But because what am I doing? It's to the glory of God, right? And He glorifies Himself. He makes Himself known to the world and to those around us because of the blessings of the Lord and the fulfillment of the Word of God that's in our lives and it just comes in our life. We receive the favor of the Lord. We receive the hand of God. These good things, this goodness of God. And the like and the more, and then people see and they observe these things, and it's a witness to everyone around us, right? God is good. God is faithful. God is true, right? Okay, and I'll tell you one thing. God will let trying come into your life. Oh, everybody says, oh, no. Okay, but God will let trying to come into your life because He's going to teach you how to stand in the midst of adversity. And if you're going to walk with God, you can't escape this training of the Holy Spirit. All right? Okay. He's going to train you how to stand in the midst of adversity. Okay? So a lot of times Christians, they get tried and they think, oh, no, what's gone wrong? Oh, no. Oh, no. What's gone wrong? Because they have a total misperception of what it means to have a relationship with the Lord in the first place. Okay, so if you're tried, the Spirit of God is moving upon you and you're in training. Okay, because I'm going to tell you what, He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. He wants to add to you. He wants to remove any obstacles or hindrances that are in your life. And He wants to train you up so He can use you as a vessel and an instrument to believe for more. Well, that's what happens. You know, we're tried. We're tried. Now, I want to tell you, if you got selfish ambition in your heart, you can't stand to be tried. Selfish ambition will be proven real quick. God allows that to come to the surface too. Okay, all right, you know, and that is where selfish ambition comes in, you know, and then, you know, I get disappointed, you know, I get discouraged, I get disheartened. Now, everybody deals with that. Everybody deals with that. Everybody deals with that. But I'm talking about where it comes in, just starts taking over, right? Okay, it just begins to come in and take over, you know, and so it's showing the selfish ambition, because I'm not, my heart is not unto the glory of God, right? I got an ambition, is that promise right there. That's the one I want. Now, a lot of the so-called faith people, and I say so-called because it's not really a true faith message, all right? A lot of the so-called faith people, it's all about a dollar bill. It's all about prosperity. Praise God, we looked at prosperity. We're going to continue to look at prosperity. Prosperity is a whole bunch more than a dollar bill. Now, let me say that if you need financial blessings, then pray about it. Okay? Pray about it. Because He will bless you in your finances. All right? He will bless you in your finances. But you can't limit the teaching of prosperity and the promise of prosperity to a dollar bill. Okay? Because it's just not there. In the scriptures, it's just not there, okay? All right, so it's very important that we understand that type of thing. And let's move on to there, and let's move on to another part. Now I'm going to come to the first part of it, where it says, for as many as may be the promises of God. Well, that tells you right there. So there's no promise too great, and there's no promise too strong, or any promise that's too small. Here, what he's going to say about promises applies to them all. What he's going to say about promises applies to them all. All right, well, let's go on. For as many as may be the promises of God. Now, look at this. This is important. In him. Everybody say in him. Okay. In him they are. Everybody say yes. Oh, boy. That's pretty good, isn't it? Huh? You know? So in him all, as many as may be, as many as may be, the promises of God, in him they are yes. Whoa. That's pretty good, huh? They're not maybe, possibly, or if it's the will of God, right? Okay, I'm sorry, the covenant is the will of God. Now, I don't have answers to everything. I can't tell you why this, I can't tell you why that. I just know where I'm going to stand. That's all I know. You have to make your own decision. This is the covenant of the Lord, and as many as may be the promises of God, in Him, they are yes. Well, now, God don't do that on Friday. He only does it on Monday. And it's only the third Monday. If you don't ask it on the third Monday, it's just not going to happen. Right? Conditions. Are you hearing me? Now, I'm not saying there's not any conditions to the fulfillment of the Word of God. But if you let God move in your life, and you let and I'm going to bring this out in a minute, you let the Holy Spirit lead you, because that's where we have failed. We've failed to involve the Holy Spirit in our believing upon the promises of God. And then it's become too mechanical. He will lead you in the establishment of your faith. He will lead you in the increase of the need of your faith. He'll lead you into the life and the reality of your faith. And He will lead you down the pathway to show you how to stand in faith. He will teach you and He'll lead you every step of the way in the fulfillment of the promises of God. Because the Holy Spirit wants to see the fulfillment of the promises of God in your life more than you. Yeah, He does. He wants to see the fulfillment of the promises of God, the Holy Spirit, in your life more than you desire them. Now, let's go on. And let's see 20 again. For as many as may be the promises of God, in him they are yes. Okay, now look here. Wherefore also by him is our amen. Our eyes are on Jesus, right? We're looking to Jesus. I cannot earn the promises of God. I cannot deserve the promises of God. I must believe upon the promises of God, and I must receive them. Okay? I must receive them. And that's very important. If I won't do that, that's conditional. There's the condition. I'm giving you the condition of fulfillment. All right? And as I believe upon him and as I receive them, then the Spirit of God begins to lead me to where I find the fulfillment of the promises of God. Let's give a hypothetical for just a minute. Let's say, for example, that there's an issue that needs to be removed from my heart that I don't really readily see exactly. You know, that the Spirit of God has designated to be released from me in order that the total fulfillment of the promise can come in. You got to walk with the Holy Spirit through the fulfillment of the promises. You got to yield your heart to him. You got to call upon the name of the Lord. You got to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and to lead you in the fulfillment. He's called a helper. He's called a helper. What do you think he's helping you with? He's helping you to possess these things. He's helping you. He'll show you how to do it. And then he'll bring the light, what he wants to bring the light, and he will direct in the way that he wants to direct. And see, you're not relying, it's on yourself. There's been so much of a burden that has been put on the people of God that is a mechanical nature, that it's about their faith, right? It's about their faith and their faith. Now, the Word of God, yes. Yes, the Word of God does talk about, you let it be according to your faith. But that's not putting the burden of all faith upon you. You're the only one that can implement it. And if you won't implement it, then that's where you are. But you have to implement it. You have to make the decision that you're going to walk by faith, because this is a covenant of faith, all right, that we have in Jesus Christ. It is a covenant of faith. Everything is received on the basis of faith through grace. Right? You don't only get saved that way. That's how you walk with the Lord. That's how you receive the promises of God. That's how you stand on Scripture. It all is through faith. Faith is a continual practice, not a doctrine that I adhere to. It's a continual practice in the life of the believer. We live and walk by faith. And then when we do that, then the way that we receive the promise is going to be by the grace of God. But the Holy Spirit will lead you every step of the way. Let me give you an example. Let's go on. Here's now. I'm just going to read through this. It says in verse 21, now he who establishes us, that's very encouraging, who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us, so the Holy Spirit brings anointing, okay? Because he's talking about the fulfillment of promises, and anointed us. That anointing comes from the Holy Spirit. Now look at here at verse 22. Who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. A pledge is like an earnest, right? You know, you're buying a house, and you, I'm going to buy that house. I want that house, okay? Well, then I'm going to put down an earnest. And what does that mean? That means I'm good for the rest of it, right? That means I'm dead serious here, all right? I just didn't tell you I want to buy that house. I'm demonstrating. I'm going to take possession of the rest of it. That's what a pledge is. So the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a pledge that we shall receive the rest of the inheritance that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. Like, for example, right here, I believe on the Word. I believe on the Word. I believe on the covenant promise right there. Then the Holy Spirit has been given as a pledge to bring me into the fulfillment of the promise that I stand on and that I'm believing God for. All right? Can you go over real quick to Ephesians? Go over to Ephesians real quick. And I want you to see that this is the work of the Holy Spirit. I got a lot more to say about the Holy Spirit, but I'll tell you one thing that will come to you is that you'll no longer be under the burden and the pressure of believing for promises. You'll no longer be under the burden and the pressure of believing for promises. All right? Because you'll be led into the promise by the Holy Spirit. What a joy. What an absolute joy that is. He knows the way. Okay? He knows the way. And he knows how to bring me into it. Oh, glory to God. Isn't that good? You know, that really ought to whet our appetite to just lift up promises of God and stand on them and believe on them. Get you a notebook, write them down, put down a date when you wrote that down. All right? And begin to believe God to bring forth his covenant promises to you. And oh, Holy Spirit, may you lead me, guide me, and direct me, and show me how to possess it. All right, now, real quick, so that you understand that that is the work of the Holy Spirit, okay? There is Ephesians chapter 1. Are you in there? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit." Now, look at the wording carefully. You were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit. What does it say? Of promise. Isn't that what it says? Right? A Holy Spirit of promise. Well, why is it calling the Holy Spirit that? All right? When you see a title that is given to the Holy Spirit, it's describing a work that the Holy Spirit does. The Spirit of truth leads you into the truth. Right? You know, on and on. The Holy Spirit is given many titles. And when you see a certain title that is described of the working of the Holy Spirit, it's what he does. Here, he's called the Holy Spirit of promise. Whoa. You know, so, you know, we need to come out of this. We need to come out of this burden stuff, and that it all relies on me believing God. No, it doesn't. You know, you start the process. You start the process and go forward, and you involve the Holy Spirit, he'll lead you every step of the way. Oh, well, I mean, I'm too weak to believe for that great promise right there. No problem, okay? The Holy Spirit will add to your faith. He'll lead you into the increase of faith. There's nothing too much that you can't obtain in the Lord Jesus Christ if you be adventuresome enough and courageous enough to go after it. Now, all right, let me finish by giving you some other things here that are very important, you know, principles of receiving. You know, number one is the act of faith must be taken. You know, if I won't believe God, because that's taking up the covenant, because that's a condition for covenant promises. You know, so I've got to take it up. I've got to believe God. All right, number two, which goes right along with it, and that is the confession of our faith. In a confession of our faith. The word confession is the Greek word homologa, which means to say the same. Now, I'm really warning you about that one. If you really have it in your heart, then that's what you're going to speak because it's alive and real to you, right? How many people get anointed with oil and then the next thing, the service is over and then they're talking to someone about their ailment? You know? Where's the standing in that? Where's the act of faith in that? Okay? So you've got to stand in faith. All right? Now the Holy Spirit will help you, okay? And you begin to let it out of your heart. Speak it. Right? You begin to speak it. What are you doing? You're receiving the breath. Okay. Now I'll get into that more at a later date. But they're all yes and amen. That means that they've been given. That means that they're part of the covenant promise inaugurated through his blood. Are you with me there? They're yes and amen. Okay, you now have to do what? Receive them, right? I'll give you the word so you'll know it. Receive, the Greek word, the major Greek word for that is lambano, and it means to take, accept, gripped, or to seize upon. All right? To take, accept, gripped, or seize upon. All right? And then its root words mean to claim or to proclaim. All right? You know, so do you understand? You do claim the promise as yours. You know, get out of this, well, if it be the will of God. Get out of it. There's no faith in that. I'm not saying that I'm not submitted to the will of God and do Him doing things His way. Yes, but I'm also going to stand believe for the promise of the Lord. Are you with me there? I'm going to believe for the promise of God. Let Him do it His way. Let Him do it His way. All right? Okay? But I'm not going to be passive. I'm going to be proactive. All right. Okay. Let's go on. All right. And then here's number three. There's the principles of receiving. Number three is the attitude of humility. You know, sometimes things don't go the way that you thought they would go in receiving the promise of God. Okay? You know, so you may have to adjust. Right? We do a lot of adjusting, right? You know, because we're yielding, and what are we doing? And we don't know what to do. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I don't know what to do. What am I to do? Okay, I'm going to humble myself because there's grace. The Word of God is so full of promise to those that will humble themselves before God. The promise is that you'll receive the God's grace, right? You don't know what to do? I don't know how to go forward. I don't know what to do next. Then humble yourself before God, and the Lord will bring grace to you. He will bring grace to you. All right, number four is a heart of repentance. A heart of repentance. We need to have a heart of repentance before the Lord. I'll give up anything. I'll give up everything in order to receive Him and to receive the promises of God. More to be said later on about repentance. Number five is to submit, to be led His way. I've already mentioned that. So God's got a timing. He's got a method of choosing. The testing of our hearts and of our faith. If you're being tested in your heart and in your faith, you're probably having preparations for advancement is where you're really at. Preparations for advancement. Okay? Then there's seasons. There's seasons for the purpose of God and for the will of God. You know, Paul talked about that. You know, I know how to be content in an abundant prosperity. I know how to be content even in having need, right? There's seasons that God takes you through, all right? Okay, so that's very important. Now, I'm going to give you some conditions. Can I give you a couple of conditions that are really, 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 really important to us? You know, and now let me read it to you. This is found in Numbers 14:27. It says, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me? I have heard the complaints of the sons of Israel." Then in verse 30 it says, "Surely you shall not come into the land." If you're a grumbler or a fault finder, you are robbing yourself of your own blessings. Right? You are robbing yourself of your own blessings. Right? You want to turn away from it. You're not going to enter into the land of promise. I'm going to turn away from it. What do you want to do? All right, here's another part of that condition. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Right? All right, that's pretty plain, isn't it? You know, I'm not going to be a fault finder. I'm not going to be a grumbler. I'm not going to be a complainer, right? You know, and then what am I going to do? I am going to, what? Everybody say, give thanks. Give thanks. You know what you're giving thanks for. You're not giving thanks for your problem, right? You're not giving thanks for the difficulty that you're going through, all right? You're not giving thanks over that. You're giving thanks that Jesus is the Lord over what you're going through, right? And it's powerful now. I mean, it really is. You know, because the natural inclination is to be a complainer. Right? That's a natural inclination, is to be a complainer. Oh, what victory it is when you die to yourself in that practice and you take up thanksgiving instead. Oh, my goodness. I tell you right now, I mean, you're releasing the power of God into your life in ways that you never dreamed. You're releasing the power of God into your life into ways that you never dream. Now, we all have our moments, don't we? I mean, maybe you don't. Sometimes I have my moments, right? Right? You know, I know Beatrice has her moments, you know. I'm going to pay for that one. But we all have our moments, right? Okay. You know, but that doesn't sidetrack you. Okay. You have an ambition, and that ambition is that you're going to have fewer moments. Right? You're going to have fewer moments, right? You know, and you're going to practice, and the way you'll have fewer moments, you know, is that you're going to fill that up with other things, right? Like Thanksgiving. Okay? And that's what is that? Now, if somebody, what my mama taught me to do is that when somebody gives you something, you tell them thank you. You know, how many times have you had said to you when you was a kid, what do you say? Right? What do you say? Oh, thank you. Right? You know, so you understand that is a big part of receiving by faith, not standing around watching to see where it's going to appear. Right? You know, or looking for that alone. No, receive it as yours, right? Oh, the devil's going to fight you. Are you ready for the fight? The devil's going to fight you, okay? He's going, you know, how foolish you look. You know, how silly, you know, for you to do that. And on and on and on, because he don't want you doing any of that stuff, right? You know, he didn't want you to do any of that. All right. So right now, okay? You know what I'm going to pray? I'm going to pray that a spirit of thanksgiving is going to come on you. Okay? A spirit of thanksgiving, right? Okay. Now, see how I was raised, all right? And I had a great mom and dad, okay? They went through the Depression as children, okay? They prepared for the worst and hoped for the best. Everything was looked upon and talked about as the worst first. Okay. That's just the way they were. Right? I was raised in that. Right? That's a negativity. Correct? That's a negativity. That's not a hopefulness in Jesus. Right? And that's just the way it was. Right? They were good parents and things like that. But everybody's got their flaws. You got things that you've been raised in. You got things that you've been, that you're prone toward or practice or whatever. But let me tell you what's going to happen to you today is that you're not going to be able to walk in complaining and grumbling with a comfortable heart anymore. Amen. Right? Amen. You're not. Not with a comfortable heart anymore. Okay? As I pray it, you receive it. Amen. What is this all about? It's the Holy Spirit, right? It's the Holy Spirit, because see, he's going to cause you to go down the avenue of possessing these promises, right? Right. What a joy it will be. What a joy. All right? Is your heart ready? Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Father God, I just want to give you the praise and the glory. And I lift up, oh Lord God, every stronghold of grumbling and complaining. In the mighty name of Jesus right now, broken. Broken. I declare you broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Every grumbling, every complaining stronghold, I declare you broken over the people, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus, let a spirit of thanksgiving come upon the people of God. And each one of us right now, Father God, oh Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching, for leading, for training, and for establishing, oh Lord, every one of us, all of your people, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the way of thanksgiving. Let this be released now. Let it settle. Let it rest and come into every heart and every mind. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise his name. Amen. Would you, Kathy, would you all come? Amen. You all are going to be the happiest bunch of people in all of Owensboro. You know that?